First of all, thanks for leading us so well. Let's express our appreciation to our senior high youth worship team. We want to be able to chance to pray for this family. They're both academics of the highest level. And Eddie just graduated with his PhD and has now been offered to go and do postgraduate work in Swift Current. And we're going to miss him greatly. We have many demographics, people in the city that are very close to our heart. And so one of them is people who have come here, originated in Africa. This is a group that's very important to my heart. And so part of a way of saying that was to have an African pastor who could help people when they're coming here to assimilate to our city, to our country, to our culture, to our church, and help send the message that they were wanted and needed here. And so you and your family are going to leave an awful big hole here. And maybe you'd like to say a little word of what you're going to be doing and what anything else that's on your heart, Eddie.
Thank you, Todd. One thing I'm not very good at doing is saying goodbyes, but it's always necessary sometimes to say goodbye. I want to say a big thank you to you and every member of this church. I remember I came in 2009, I met Stella, and Stella said, come visit our church, and I'm sure you'll like it. And Stella, I want to say thank you that you introduced me to this wonderful family, and I've really been blessed by the people here. I've made wonderful friends. So when I came in, initially Cynthia wasn't here, they joined me and I said, come, I believe you love this church. And we joined and we decided to become members. And Jim and Mary Gill happened to be the leaders of those group. And we enjoyed every bit of it. And we really appreciate them for taking the time to take us through how to become a good member of ROL. For a long time, I've been doing pastoral work back in Africa. So when I came, I decided I wanted to be a church member, just sit down there, just be a member without getting involved. And lo and behold, one day I was there and Todd came to me and said, you know what? We want you on board. I'm like, this wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to just be quiet, just observe, and just also enjoy being ministered unto. But well, I don't know what God told him, but he fished me out and I got involved. And I want to tell my African brothers and sisters that I'm going to miss the wonderful fellowship we had. And I urge you, let's continue and let it grow. And let's, when people come in, like Todd said, let them feel that they are part of this wonderful fellowship. God richly bless you.
So the message I want you to hear is this. You become a member, you just get exactly what you want. No. There is something worth mentioning in there, though, that the Lord always knows what we want. And he knows what we need, and he knows what will help us grow. Steve Funk here is one of our elders now, but he is a very kind of high-level accountant, and he had only just come to our church. Took me out for lunch, and he said, where would you like to put me? And I said this to him. I said, well, I know where everybody else would put you because you're brilliant with numbers. You're good with money. You're good with figures. I said, but you asked me the question. I have a feeling that the Lord is going to have you working more with people because in some ways you've counted yourself out. I'm good with this. I can avoid this. And I didn't make him do it. I just recommended that maybe the Lord had something for him there. To watch the way him and Pauline have grown, just the way you guys have, and the Lord has used him. Now he's one of our elders and running so many things. And it's just a beautiful story. So when you come to our church, you know, we're not going to make you do anything. But be aware that the Lord knows. He knows just what's inside of you. He knows what our community needs from your heart, and he knows maybe the ways he would like to advance his cause in your life while you're here. And certainly that's been the case with Eddie and Cynthia. So let's pray for them, and if you're comfortable with the custom, you could extend a hand this toward them. They have blessed us, this family. And so it's such a great delight to bless them. Father, thank you for the time that we have been able to have the pleasure of fellowship with Eddie and Cynthia and with their kids. And we are not exaggerating when we say we love them. And we bless them as they move on to this next chapter. And that you would be very, very close, very, very present for them. That you would go before them. You would open up the doors to the next community of Jesus followers that they will be part of. Who will minister to them and care for them, but also receive the gifts that they carry. And that their children would grow up before them to have the same devotion and commitment as is in their parents. Bless them as well, we pray. Take care of every matter from schooling, and friends, and their development. We love them and bless them and send them off. In the name of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we stir up the gifts that are within you. We fan them into flame. We release afresh a mighty impartation of the Holy Spirit. That even through you, swift current would know a spiritual renewal and an increase of unity amongst the churches. That people's hearts might again blaze with the love of God in that town. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
I'd just like to ask Julian and Toby to come on up here, and our summer team, you guys can come up here as well. Come on up here, guys. So we've had it's a summer season has arrived here, and at this point, there's a transition in some of our programming for our kids and youth, and we switched to a summer type of programming, which is why lots of the kids are in the service today, but. At the beginning of the year, we had two young men who came to us and asked if we would train them in ministry and offer themselves to serve in an internship type role. And so both these young guys has volunteered their time and their efforts every week to be trained in that way. And so this is just a chance to, they've kind of finished up that year. We just want to honor them as they've poured so much into our kids and young people. And so Julian worked with our grade schoolers, and as well with our youth, and Toby was focused in our youth areas, and both of them just serve so well. And what a joy it is when two young men come to you and just want to be trained and want to grow in their discipleship and their ministry in our church. That's about the sweetest sound I think a pastor can hear, is someone coming and just saying, I just want to come and do whatever you need me to do for a year. Like, that's amazing. Wonderful. And so we honor you guys for having that kind of heart. It's just really, really neat. And we have a little gift card gift here for you guys.
Thank you.
And we just thank you for all you've poured into our young people this year. We're really blessed because of you guys. Really, these guys served at both services Sunday mornings. Our Friday night youth program, our Sunday night youth program, came in during the week, helped with administration. So they're just awesome guys that we're so privileged. Toby came all the way from England just to do this. And Julian came all the way from Westside. Real dedication there. And they were diligent in their studies. I think, did you finish everything? Finish reading the book, Julian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like he's just about done. But they were great and such a blessing. And so thank you guys. Let's give them a hand for, and we're going to, and in a sense, there's a torch that gets passed to our summer interns who take over at this time, helping with our programs. We give all of our teachers and those who plan the programs, we give them the summer off to give a break and to get some rest and to be ready again for the fall. And so we're very fortunate that the federal government provides summer jobs for students that we apply for, and we get receive some of them every year. And so we're able to hire these guys for the summer to, while everybody else needs a break, to come in and run the show here for us. And so we're very blessed to have them. So they'll be running the preschool program on Sundays. And during the week, they have big plans in store for our grade schoolers on Thursdays, every Thursday through the summer, and for our youth on Fridays. So if you haven't seen that information, it's called Boredom Busters. There's flyers at the info desk for all of our kids to find out about that. And so just so that you can get to know these guys a little bit, who's this that's going to be working with my kids this summer? Are they trustworthy? So maybe we could just have them tell you their name and some fact that may or may not be interesting to us, just so that we can get to know them better. Okay?
Well, I'm Emma Deering, and I can fit through very small doorways.
Well, I'm Jess Arkell, and I was teaching grade 4 or 5 students like a month ago, and they all have bigger feet than me.
You gotta talk this, Jared.
So hard. Let's think of something. Start with your name. My name is Jared. I can't fit through quite small doors, and I probably have bigger feet than grade 4 and 5 children.
All right. That one probably fits into the not interesting category. Thanks, Jared, for having that. Okay. But the most important what we wanted to do this morning was to pray for these guys and ask the Lord to bless them for all that they've given to us, that he would pour back into them, and to bless these guys as they gear up for this summer. So I would love to have any volunteers of our youth and kids come on up here right now, really quick. Kids and youth, come up here so we can pray for these guys. All right, come on down. That's it. Come up here quickly. We're going to gather. Come on right in the middle here, guys. Move, slide into the middle. We're going to gather around you and pray for you. So God tells us it's a good idea to lay our hands on people when we pray for them. So everybody, find an appropriate place to put your hand on them. Come on over around here, you guys. We just sometimes have to clarify these things. All right? Come gather around so you can lay hands. We're going to lay hands. That's how we pray for people. Okay? That's how we that's perfect. All right. We're going to pray that God will bless these guys. All right. Here we go. Let's all pray together. Well, Lord, we thank you for Julian and Toby and the great young men of God that they are. And what a privilege to have them give so much time and effort to our young people this past year. What a blessing it's been. And so, Lord, we pray for them now that even at the conclusion of this time, you would pour tenfold back upon them for all that they've given, Lord. We know we can't outgive you, God. And so we pray blessing on them in every area of their life. Finances and friendships and ministry and schooling and all the things that they pursue, Lord. Give them a great summer of rest, Lord. And we just so thankful for them and ask your blessing on them. And Lord, we pray for our summer interns as they take over and run things for our kids. Lord, may you empower them mightily to do this work. May they sense your Holy Spirit equipping them with all that they need and the confidence to share the good things that they've learned about you with these young people. So Lord, we bless them and we set them apart this morning. We pray you to anoint them for this work. By your precious Holy Spirit, you give them all the gifts they need, and even new gifts today, Lord, that they will require to do this work. So just bless them, Lord, today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. Good job.
Thank you, Jep. Just failed to mention that Joel and Amy Fulton are with us this morning. We sent them off 2 years ago when they moved to Regina in support of Rob and Sarah Steele in the church plant there. So they've been very, very active in the church plant and are doing a wonderful job there and have just come home here for a few days. And so nice to have you back, Joel and Amy and girls. Boy, you might almost think you were loved here. Nico, come and bring us the scriptures. Wonderful to have. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. And it's I feel especially honored and privileged to kick off the summer series with you. The things we want to look at upon, the theme we have for this summer, really excited for it this year. Because we want to turn our attention and focus to the Epistle of John. The Apostle John, he wrote the Gospel of John, but he didn't just write the Gospel of John, but he also wrote three epistles, three letters. So for you kids, if you have your sheets and you ask yourself, what's an epistle is a letter. And so he wrote the three letters, and so which we want to actually focus, spend time deliberately this summer in focusing especially on 1 John. You know, summer sometimes can become like a little bit of a lull where all of the programs shut down, and sometimes we as Christians sometimes shut down too a little bit. Have you ever experienced that? You go on holiday, you don't have your normal routines. And all of a sudden, it almost feels like you're taking a holiday from Jesus as well. And you sometimes are actually, oh, I don't want that, but how can I make sure that doesn't happen? You know, some of you might be concerned about that. And as I was preparing and praying, as I was starting to look at 1 John, and I just felt like God said, what if you will make a statement over us as a church, over each individual, over myself? That this summer, may your love towards Jesus become more real and burning, brighter than ever. May you be marked by the love of Christ, the Word which became flesh and dwelling among us. What if this is what we put as a focus and attention for our summer? Rather than saying, I want to take a holiday for Jesus and church. No, no, no. I want to invite Jesus to make me more, falling more in love with him than ever. As a church, as leadership, as for Sunday mornings, we want to help you with that. If you want to fill your summer with more of God and love and Jesus, it's actually a really good place to go to the Apostle John. You know, John was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. The Bible says that he was reclining at the chest of Jesus. I took my wife on my chest this week, and you know, she heard my heartbeat. And I was like, you know, that was where John was. She looked at me, and was like, that's a little awkward. he just took the closest place right next to Jesus, and it's evident in the way he writes, the way he speaks. Is it surprising that when you look at the Gospel of John or even at his epistles, there's a lot about love and dwelling in him and knowing God? He actually presents to us the highest Christology in his writings, the highest love for Jesus. When you read John, you actually get to know Jesus more. I love that about him. You know, the love of God came out of every pore of his being. He just reflected it. As you read through the gospel, it becomes evident that this man didn't just write he was the one who was loved by Jesus, but he actually lived that out, the way he talks about Jesus. He had the love of God deeply imprinted into his DNA, and it comes out through his writings. You know, John gives us some really good answers in his epistle to questions like, what does love really and practically look like? Not just as a vague idea and fantasy, but what is love? You ever ask yourself that? And don't just look for a cliche answer. How do I apply the gospel in my life on a daily basis? Again, John in his epistle gives some really good answers to that. And what does it mean to abide in God? And how do I know God? Well, what if you and I, for this summer, will take the writings of John into our holiday with us? What if you go and wherever you go, like go into the mountains, take your Bible with you and just let John keep a love for God burning into you, laying it deep in your foundation. You know, when you look at John and his writings, you see actually a close relation between the gospel of John and his epistle, the first epistle, and all of his epistles. You actually can see different patterns where, as I was reading the first epistle, all of a sudden I was like, that reminds me of his gospel. The gospel of John introduces the incarnated word, the word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Jesus was revealing and making manifest. He made visible the glory of God, introducing the Father through himself. I talked about that 2 weeks ago. When you look at Jesus, you will understand the Father. He said, like, you can't separate the Father and me. You look at me, you will see him. I will reflect his glory. And in his epistle, John actually centers on the life heard and proclaimed, the life of Christ. And it's like a practical application of the gospel lived out in us as believers. That's why it's actually really relevant and practical. And I would like to go with you and just give you a little bit of a background before we dive into the first few verses, into the introduction of to this letter, for you to understand, when was that letter written? What did John talk about, and what did it look like? You know, it's a letter, like I already said, which was written by the Apostle Paul, John. Like, what? No, it was John. And he wrote it to a church or multiple churches in Minor Asia. We don't know exactly because there's not a lot within that letter which shows us that it was one church or many churches. But we can know a few other things. The way he addresses them makes it clear that he had a close relationship to this congregation. He didn't, like Paul, use the formal way of me, an apostle and servant of Jesus Christ, greeting the church in Ephesus. No, John here actually leaves the whole formal out there. But the way you know he was really close is he addresses them like, dear children. And you see it's a letter written from his heart to a congregation he dearly appreciated. It's a message of the heart, a message of encouragement and reassurance. It's a message to Christians who were actually perplexed and bewildered by the things which unfolded right in front of their eyes. They went through some difficult times, and John just there reaffirms them, reassures them, and encourages them. Because right at that point, heresy became part of their congregation, and people within their church brought schism and were threatening the true gospel content. And so John approached them and said to them, guys, no. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know that heresy, like some of the doctrines they believed was that they denied that Jesus came in human flesh, that their faith wasn't measured by one's Christian lifestyle, but more what they know. So they put knowledge over a lifestyle, and they actually separated themselves and like, well, we know more than you guys, and so if you want to know more, you have to come to us. And they also didn't connect that God being light will conclude that we as believers walk in the light as well. This heresy actually had certain tendencies of Gnosticism. And if you know a little bit of church history, Gnosticism was one of the greatest threat to the earliest church. It was one of the greatest heresies which tried to threaten the truth of the gospel. And that's why John and the apostles, again and again and again, they actually brought the truth of the gospel. The center of Jesus is that, guys, it's about the gospel. It's about Jesus. Brought always back to truth, love, and unity. The apostles were like the safeguard of the gospel. And here in John, we see it as well. John was safeguarding, protecting the truth of the gospel. And this message is still very relevant for us today as Christians. In a world and culture where truth has become relative and love can be bought, we have to know and teach the centrality of the gospel in our churches, which is based in true love. So as we dive into this introduction of 1 John, I want to encourage you, this is relevant and important for us today. This is important that we are founded in the centrality of the gospel. So if you have your Bibles with me, I want to encourage you to just turn to 1 John. Letter written by the Apostle John. And we just want to look at the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy, our joy, may be complete. May God add His blessings to this public reading. Kids, if you're here and you got a little sheet, here's a little hint for you as you fill out some of those questions. I was born in 1976 in Germany, and I went to high school in Germany. And I actually had a hard time in school. I didn't like school so much. I thought it was boring most of the time. And a lot of the teachers, so they were the ones who were boring, and then there were the ones who were really boring for me. And we actually started making this game and looking when we met and listened to our teachers, because you could see what they were passionate about by the rabbit trails they went on. And so we started to look for that and pay good attention. And so then in times when we were really, oh, I don't want to do school today, we asked them certain questions so that they start going on those rabbit trails. So we had this one English teacher, he lived in England for a while, and you could be guaranteed once you start talking about England or even asking a question about England, he forgot about his teaching and just started telling stories about England. And we loved that. We didn't care about the stories he told, we just liked that it was in school. And we had one, particularly one teacher, he was a German teacher, he also was an arts teacher, and he was really boring. And we always fell asleep. And so he loved art. He was passionate about it. And so we sometimes just ask questions like, so who was Rembrandt again? And he started like, Rembrandt? Oh, let me tell you. And you see his passion come out and you're like, okay, let's just take a little nap here. You know, what you're passionate about will be evident in what you will speak about. I heard this story about an African missionary who came back to a missionary movement in Germany, and the president picked him up from the airport, and he drove him through Germany, and he showed him all the things they've built and accomplished, and the buildings and the different places they've gone to and are going to, and all over the world. And so it was basically a whole week. And he, at the end of the week, he actually drove him back to the airport and was like, "So what do you think?" And this African missionary or this African pastor, he said to him, "You know, you told me a lot about buildings and goals you accomplished and all of the different things, but not once have you talked with me about Jesus. Not once have you sat down and prayed with me. I'm actually a little sad." And all of a sudden, this president got convicted and is like, "You know what? If we are passionate about Jesus, it needs to be evident in the way we speak about him. It needs to be evident in the way we bring that into our daily lives." I love that. When we look at the beginning of the letter, this introduction, it's not necessarily explicit. It's not those first four verses. It's not about love necessarily. But if you read this, it becomes clear and passionate, clear what passion John has all about. Is that clear as you read that? He's just starting to rave. It's like he's getting transported back into time when Jesus was around. For John, it wasn't just words, but included all of his senses. Hearing, seeing, touching. You know, it right away reminds me of the start of his gospel when he says, "In the beginning was the Word." He starts his epistle by "that which was from the beginning." Right away, it's like, oh, heard that before. And I go back, it's like, oh, yeah. And it's like, again, as you continue to read the phrase which, when he says, like, "which we've looked upon." In the Greek, it's actually the same word like in John 1:13. And I want to read that to you. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory." We have looked upon his glory. Another translation says, "we have beheld his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know, as I was preparing, I could just see sitting over this letter and writing this introduction and the memories flashing back into the present. Him getting carried away. Oh, I feel it. I can touch it. I can see it again. It's as if it was yesterday. And the memories flash back. And I see him just, as I was preparing, I imagine him writing it and tears coming through because of the love he's experienced firsthand. It wasn't just theory. It wasn't just some words which were empty. It was something alive. And as we read the introduction, it's clear to us. You know, what must it have felt like sitting under a man like John, who was called the disciple whom Jesus loved? Like, I mean, love pouring out of him. Implicit and explicit. Pouring out of him whatever he did. You know, it was clear when you look at some of his disciples that love was a theme, a constant theme through him. The epistle shows us constant theme through it. One of his disciples was Polycarp. And you probably all heard about Polycarp because Bishop Todd talks about him sometimes. The way he loved people was evident that he was a disciple of John. Polycarp, when he got visited by the soldiers who came to kill him, he opened the door, and you know what he did? He invited them in and cooked dinner for them. So like, "Come in, guys. I want to make dinner for you." And as they ate, he said, like, "Can you just give me an hour to pray?" And as they were eating, he was praying for the churches, for the love he had for the body of Christ. And out of 1 hour became 2 hours, and he prayed for the people around him. He had so much love in him. And it was evident for those soldiers So much so that they tried to convince him to deny Jesus. And Polycarp answers are like, Jesus served me faithfully all this year. I served him faithfully. Gave my life. I will not deny him now. You know, this introduction, those first four verses, have the signature of the beloved all over it. A man so powerfully touched by the love of God. A man who lived what he preached. Just go there. The life being made manifest. Verse 2. The unseen made seen through the incarnation of the Son. Jesus, who was from the beginning with the Father, being made visible in what was, is what John and the apostle proclaimed. This is the true message of the gospel. The love being poured out into the world, making a way for mankind to have fellowship with God. You know, that's the apostolic teaching we need in our days again. The focus and center on Jesus. Falling in love with him. My prayer is that as you hear the words of God, that you fall in love with Jesus more and more, that you walk out of our Sunday morning services, so like, I just need to spend time with Jesus. I need more of him. I want to understand him more. It's not about new and fresh revelation, but the revelation of Jesus being made alive and tangible for the believer today. What this world needs today are people who are in love with Jesus and portray that love to the world around them. When we look into verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also. John, he actually established an apostolic witness. And it's interesting, as you read this, it actually reminds you of Acts, when Peter and John were in front of the council, and they told them, you need to stop preaching, teaching about this Jesus. You know what they told them? You know what they said to them? He said, like, we cannot but speak about what we've heard and seen. We can't stop proclaiming the things we've seen and heard. Here again, he says, like what we've seen and heard, this is what we proclaim to you. That's what the apostles did constantly everywhere they went. They talked about the mighty works of God. It wasn't theory, but it was a deep experience, encounter, and conviction. This apostolic teaching will have in its core and as its fruit, true fellowship. As we continue here, look in verse 4. It says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Through the apostolic teaching, that fellowship will be established. Oh, as I started camping on this word fellowship, God just started to speak to me. The essence of Christian life. Fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers in Christ. You know, in the beginning, Adam was placed into a garden to do what? To have friendship and communion with God. Our first call and purpose in life is to have fellowship. That's what we're made for. You know, you want to look for what's my purpose and destiny in life? Well, how about fellowship? You know, when we look at this word, the Greek word is well known to all of us. It's koinonia. You've probably heard that before. And it's one of the translations is fellowship, but there's more than one translation. It's fellowship, communion, participation, share a common life and partnership. Its root meaning is common or shared, and it's opposed to one's own and goes against everything our individualistic culture stands for. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the orphan spirit. I can do it myself, independence. I don't need anyone around. Well, here's the truth. God actually wanted to establish in us, through his believers, true fellowship. Being sons and daughters of the living God means that we'll engage in koinonia, true fellowship. This word occurs over 60 times in the New Testament. in reference to the supernatural life Christians share. This supernatural life comes from the incarnate Christ, the gospel. It is the eternal life that comes from the Father and becomes the life shared individually and corporately by us as believers. As I was studying, I loved it. One of the commentaries said significantly, and you can put that up there, true believers are those who dwell in Christ. That is to say, in the fellowship which embraces all the members of Christ. I can't just say like, well, I love you, Jesus, the head, but I really hate your body. It doesn't work. It's meant to be together. It's the true fellowship which embraces all the members of Christ. Since the apostles were the first to enter this fellowship, anyone who adhered to the apostles' fellowship had by token fellowship with Christ. I love that. They speak here, so like, as you listen to the proclamation of the apostolic teaching, you will have fellowship with us and with the Father and the Son. Like, when you look through his epistle, it's actually so clear to us that fellowship and love for Jesus is expressed by the koinonia, the love we have for each other, for the brothers and sisters. Throughout the whole epistle, John is coming back to that expression of fellowship, and he starts to lay out this point here in his introduction. You know, this fellowship isn't cheap. It doesn't come easy, but it will cost us everything. It's the willingness of laying down our lives, preferring each other, being quick to forgive, and slow to offend. It will mean that we will keep our love on and stay connected even if we feel overlooked, disappointed, and betrayed. It will make us willing to learn healthy confrontation and communication. Love doesn't come easy. Koinonia isn't just think happy thoughts about it, over each other. It actually will require us to not just try it in our own strength, but it requires us to have a deep revelation of the gospel. You know, we all know the scripture where it says we love because he first loved us. You know that that's coming out of 1 John? And it helps us and sees us that that koinonia, that fellowship we longing for, we desperately need in our lives, is only possible through the love we received through Christ, the grace which he's offered to us. You know, he did the first step. Bishop Todd talked about the dynamic of grace and faith last Sunday. He made it possible for us. The grace made it possible for us through faith step into koinonia. It's only available through the gospel. You know, Sunday morning services, you know what the goal about our Sunday morning services is? Kids, you have that on your little thing. The goal of our Sunday mornings is koinonia, true fellowship. Because if it's about preaching, you can go on the internet and download a good preach. You don't need to come on a Sunday morning. If it's about worship, you could buy a CD and just do it at home. But that alone isn't what church is all about. It's the coming together, the worshiping together, the wrestling through relationships, the excitement of it, and the challenges of it. The not giving up when somebody looked at me and said, like, I don't know. It's a coming together, staying connected, deeply connected. My parents, when they came here for my ordination, they gave us a few impressions about their time here. And one of the things they said is, there's a participation, community, and fellowship which we haven't seen in a lot of places here at River of Life. People are so willing and hungry to come together. Now, that changes as soon as you become part of a body. Have you ever experienced that? When I first came to River of Life just visiting, I thought, man, this is heaven on earth. There's so much love and community and all of that. And then I moved here and I brought all my stuff with me. And all of a sudden it wasn't as heaven on earth anymore. You know, it's not always just fun. It's actually hard work. And in the middle of it, God says, like, I want to come. I want to help you. Will you be willing to prefer? Will you be willing to rejoice with the people around you when they've got something which you wanted? Will you celebrate when you feel like you've got overlooked? Will you be willing to confront in a healthy way when people hurt you? Not holding back, not just putting up our offenses. That's what true fellowship and koinonia is all about. It's not a walk in the park. It's something where God is calling us into and says, like, I know you need my help and I want to give it to you. And here John is laying that out beautifully. And here's what he finishes with. The verse 4, he says, I'm writing these things, this letter, so that our joy may be complete. I love this. As we fellowship together, as we live in this reality of the gospel being a big, deep piece of our life, John says, like, oh, as you do this, oh, our joy will be complete. Some translations say our joy, others say your joy. At the end, it doesn't matter, because as true fellowship happens in our lives, as we live out the gospel, you know what happens? Joy will be complete. It will become something which is tangible, where it's like, oh, it's not easy to love, but man, is joy arising as we work through things, as we are not giving up. You know, God wants to build something beautiful in our midst. Through the incarnation of Jesus, He made a way for us to pursue God's dream, a glorious church. That's our mission statement here. And this is only possible as we let the gospel become a reality in our lives. As we put the cross right between our relationships. So like, yeah, somebody might have hurt me, but I will not stop. You know, Hebrews 12, it says, and I want to go there with you quick, just finishing up with that. Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, we are looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that joy was? He was set before Him. The joy even John is talking about. It was the restoration of fellowship. Mankind being restored to true koinonia, to God, but it will be affecting the relationships. It's a fellowship of the redeemed, the koinonia. My encouragement and challenge to us for this summer is to read and study the writings of the Apostle John. Go into these places and let it flame passion for Jesus in new ways. Let as He is telling to His followers, it's like the things we've heard about and seen, we've touched, may the reality of Jesus become a reality for this summer to you and me. May we fall more and more in love with Jesus. And let the love which comes through the writings of John flame our hearts afresh and make us fall more in love with Jesus. May the life of the incarnated Christ become manifest to us. And may this summer become known at River of Life as a summer of true love. Where it's like, oh, it's not just a fantasy. It's not just, it's heart. May we be marked with the love of Christ and invite the world around us to come into true fellowship with the living God. That's my prayer, and that's my church for each and every one of us. Amen.
Just before Jordan leads us again, let's just take a moment to consider the summer that lies before us. To appreciate Niku's invitation. Summer is not a time where we step back from growing in our love for Christ. It's not a time where we step back from koinonia. In fact, it might be a time where we have time to do a bit more of that. I've enjoyed this last week. I've had more barbecues, invitations to people's homes, been able to say yes to more of those than through our winter months. Spent a lot of time on relationships this last 2 weeks. It's a good time. So let's just take a moment. Just pray. So dads, I want you to pray. Moms. A brief prayer. Lord, as the head of my home, show me how to lead my family into deeper fellowship with you and with your people this summer. In the rest times that we'd find you there, if the word koinonia means to share or to have in common, then teach us how to share ourselves with other people. So we dedicate these next months to you. Last summer was almost comical. I had people away for 2-3 months over the summer holidays and come back and complain how they felt so disconnected. I wonder why that is. So Father, we dedicate to you our summers, that you would be found there. Help us to lead our children and our families into summers that are restful and familial and Christ-centered. And now may the Lord bless you this summertime. May the Lord keep you, preserve his great work in you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and make his face shine upon you and your family. May the Lord this summer show you many forms of grace. And may he give you his peace. May he bind you ever closer together with your family and with his family. May he grant you the gift of true koinonia. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.